I'm Mark Bayshore. At the top of our program today, last January, voters in Michigan's 4th Congressional District, which includes Clinton and Shiawassee counties, helped decide who would replace longtime U.S. Representative Dave Camp. Camp was part of a minor exodus from Capitol Hill of veteran Michigan legislators, including Mike Rogers, Carl Levin, and John Dingell. Those 4th District voters chose our next guest to replace Congressman Camp. Before his election, Republican John Molinar served 6 years in the Michigan House of Representatives and on the Midland City Council. He was trained as a chemist and is a former employee of Dow Chemical in Midland. From Washington, we welcome Congressman John Molinar to Current State. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Mark. It's good to be with you this morning.
Same here. Talk to us about your first 7 months or so in Washington. How has it been? How has it been what you expected? How has it been what you did not expect?
Well, you know, the first few months on the job, you're kind of learning your way around, and I received my committee assignments. I was very pleased to be appointed to the Agriculture Committee, which is of vital importance to the 4th District. Also, the Budget Committee, and one of the things I campaigned on is the importance of getting our fiscal house in order. And then thirdly, on the Science, Space, and Technology Committee, and that's an area where having a science background, I hope to bring some good science policy forward, and especially with respect to oversight of the EPA and some of the important roles we have in Congress in that arena. But for the first few months, it was kind of learning my way around and getting to know the people on the committee and the issues important to the committee. Right out of the box, we worked on a unified budget between the House and the Senate that actually balanced within 10 years and didn't raise taxes. And this was the first time since 2001 that we've had a unified budget like that in place. And so it's a start. We've got a lot more work to do. One of the challenges in the federal government, as opposed to the state government, is in state government, we have a balanced budget requirement. On the federal government, we don't have that as part of our Constitution. And so it requires us to have stronger budgetary discipline, and that's something that's been in short supply in Washington over the years.
You and many others, including some Democrats, are voicing opposition to the Iran nuclear deal, and you've made clear you will be voting against it. Could you briefly give us a key reason or two that you're opposing this?
Yeah, I'll give you three. One is that I was in agreement with the president early on when he said anytime, anywhere inspection. And of course, as the deal went forward, it's clear that Iran can postpone that up to 24 days, and it's not actually us inspecting it. It's an international agency that has side agreements with Iran that we aren't really part of and would allow Iran to self-report on some of these areas of their nuclear program. Secondly, the goal originally was to have Iran discontinue enrichment of uranium so that they could not move forward with a nuclear weapon. Again, that's not the case here, and so we would be continuing to allow them to develop a nuclear weapon, even though they would have insisted all along that they have no desire to do that, but we've seen them cheat over the last decade. And then finally, this is a deal that actually rewards Iran by giving them immediate sanctions relief that would give them $150 billion immediately in unfrozen assets, plus allow them to export their oil and become a wealthy nation. One of the reasons they're at the negotiating table is because these sanctions have crippled their economy, and so that they are willing to negotiate. However, once they have this, they're able over the next 6 to 8 years to buy ICBMs from Russia and actually to develop a strong military program that actually within 15 years they could have a nuclear arsenal. So for all those reasons, I think this is a bad deal for the United States and a bad deal for the country.
Most of the reports I've heard suggest this agreement will likely pass, but it could be close. Interestingly, I heard yesterday that Senator Gary Peters, the Democrat, is on the fence right now. But what, if anything, can members of Congress like you who oppose the deal, what can you do if it passes? What do you intend to do?
Well, you know, right now we're in the phase of making our case to the American people that we want to see the Senate vote against this. I believe in the House we will vote to disapprove of this agreement. But in the Senate, they have that 60-vote threshold, and we need our senators in Michigan to vote no. And so I appreciate that Gary Peters is taking a thoughtful look at this, and I think over time, I'm hoping that he'll come to the same conclusion that Senator Schumer and Democratic future leader in the Senate for the Democrats has come out opposed to it, as has Senator Menendez. So I'm optimistic that we can defeat this. If we can't, that just will lead to, in my view, an arms race in the Middle East that is not productive. We will continue to have to work very closely with Israel because they are very much threatened by this agreement, and Israel reserves the right to defend itself. And so we will have to monitor this situation. But I'm hopeful, again, once the American people truly understand the significance of this vote and consequences that could result, that we can defeat this proposal.
U.S. Representative John Molinar of Midland, who represents Michigan's 4th Congressional District, is our guest from Washington over the phone here today on WKAR's Current State. The stock markets have been roiling the last few days, mainly because of China's economic challenges. Do you expect this instability will last some time, or will it run its course more quickly, a quicker correction, if you will?
Well, you know, it's a great question. I'm certainly not an expert on the stock market, but we know that China has devalued its currency. It's lowered its interest rates. It's certainly economy is struggling, and this, of course, is affecting U.S. investments in our stock market. Many people are saying this is a correction that has been a long time coming. You know, I tend to view the stock market as a long-term investment, and there certainly are uncertainties involved. And I have to believe that the people following this, you know, there are opportunities now that this correction has taken place, and some people are encouraging more investment, and hopefully that'll have a positive impact on the stock market.
Donald Trump has created quite a stir among Republican free traders, especially recently, with his recommendation to impose significant tariffs on Mexico and China. He even threatened a 35% tax on Ford vehicles made in Mexico that are brought back to the U.S. to be sold. What do you think of that approach? Are you a free trader, or would you are you more in line with what Mr. Trump thinks?
Well, I believe in fair trade, and I think it's important that we promote free markets around the world, and that's why I supported the Trade Promotion Authority and will continue to monitor any agreement that comes forward and be evaluated in Congress. I think it's important that for our agriculture, our manufacturing in Michigan, many of the products that we sell in markets overseas, we want to make sure our companies and our job providers have access to those markets in an unfettered way. I do have concerns when we start talking about additional tariffs and barriers to trade, because I think that can encourage more of that from other countries as well. And I think we're all better off if we could lower those barriers and really allow our businesses in Michigan and farms to supply markets across the board. You know, I've spent the last few days in Shiawassee and Clinton County touring some of the agricultural economic engine that we have in Michigan, talking to dairy producers, the Michigan milk producers, and you know, much of their product goes overseas, and we want to make sure that our milk, our dairy products, our manufactured items have markets to sell to. And I think anytime you start talking about further barriers to trade, in some respects, that can encourage other countries to follow suit and even worsen a situation.
Congressman John Molinar is our guest here today on WKAR's Current State. Do you have at least a short list of GOP presidential candidates you're likely to support, or have you taken anybody off that long list of candidates yet?
Well, I'll tell you someone who I've been very impressed with, and that's Senator Marco Rubio. And I believe
Why?
Our party. I believe our party needs a leader who can effectively communicate our conservative principles in a persuasive way that builds momentum and support for moving our country forward. And I do believe he is the most effective person at that. I think he's got good experience. I haven't endorsed a candidate at this point, but I've been very impressed with his message and certainly his story as someone who has truly pursued the American dream. His family's story is compelling, and I believe we want to encourage all Americans to have that opportunity. And so, you know, he's definitely on my short list. And, you know, it's early. Michigan's primary is, I believe, March 8th, so we've got some time yet, but and there will be several debates in the meantime so that we'll have a chance to hear from all the candidates. But I think we've got a good, strong selection of candidates in the Republican Party, and it's a very lively debate.
Would you support Donald Trump if he becomes the candidate?
If he's the Republican nominee?
Yes. Yes. You would?
Yes.
But Mr. Trump has also made immigration an even hotter topic by threatening to end birthright citizenship, erecting a wall across the southern border of the United States. In your view, Congressman Molinar, are these sensible proposals?
Well, I think it's important that we secure our border, and I've been concerned that Congress is moving too slow on that. We had a bill that we were ready to pass, and it got bogged down because multiple committees are working on different aspects of the immigration debate. There was a desire to work on all the bills at the same time, but I think, job one, we need to secure the border. I think, you know, there's a legitimate concern if people are coming to this country either illegally and or through tourism and having children so that they become American citizens. I mean, that we ought to be able to put restrictions in place. I don't support the idea of repealing the 14th Amendment, and I do think that, you know, we need to first start by securing our borders and making sure we know who's coming across our borders, both from just a fundamental fairness issue to those who are waiting in line and following the rules to become citizens, but also from a national security and public health. All these reasons, we need to know who's coming across our border and have a orderly immigration policy.
President Obama is putting in a lot of miles this week, advocating for measures involving climate change. Among other things, he is convinced, and millions of others are as well, they are convinced that there needs to be a global response to climate change. Is a global response to climate change a good idea?
Well, I think, first of all, we need to evaluate every policy we have with respect to our environment and say, what can we do that uses good science and yields real results in a cost-effective way? And I do believe the Obama administration has been guilty of overreaching in this area in a very costly way that could very much put our economy at a disadvantage and cost jobs. It will also cost higher energy costs for families. And when you consider that families who are struggling now, whether they be low-income families or seniors on a fixed income, these rising energy costs can be crippling. And so I think we need the EPA to take a fresh look at some of these rules. I think they are overreaching, whether it's with respect to the Clean Power Plan or the Waters of the U.S. and some of the water regulations, and look at things from a cost-benefit analysis. I think, you know, with respect to climate change, I think it's always good to have a dialogue with other countries, because obviously when the economies of China and others are contributing so much, you know, to the overall environmental impact, I think it's important that you have coordinated efforts. But I in no way would ever want to cede our sovereignty as a country. And I think we need good, sound environmental policy based on good science.
We're out of time, but I've got to mention this here. You mentioned the Michigan milk producers. I take it you were in Ovid the other day?
Yes, I sure was.
That's my hometown.
Oh, it is.
I grew up in Ovid, yeah.
Well, I thought it was fantastic to see the operations there, and That's a tremendous source of pride for Michigan, and that was my first opportunity to tour there, and I very much appreciate it.
It's been an anchor in that little town for many, many years, believe me. We want to thank you for joining us today. Congressman John Molinar represents the 4th District, which of course includes Shiawassee and Clinton counties. He is on the line with us from Washington. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Mark.